What's up, everyone? Welcome to the next episode of the Beach Court Podcast. We're live here in Japan. We got Parker and Maddox and myself. How's Japan, guys?
Japan is everything I've ever wanted it to be.
Are you going to leave or are you going to stay?
Sadly, I have to leave. Oh. I guess I could stay.
But... honestly, if I brought my work computer with me, I'd probably try to like finagle a way to stay.
Does your work computer let you work outside of the country?
Never tried it. That's why I'd bring it, so I could test it and see if I could stay.
I know mine does not, because I literally was like, hey, I just want to go for a month. Is that a realistic thing? And my work was like, nope, not possible. But let's spend a moment just talk about like World's Recap in general, not, you know, us specifically, but just more so like, how has it been? Like, how's your world experience? This is your first world, right, Parker? Like, first competing worlds.
Yes, I got my invite in 2018, but I was unable to play, so this was my first time playing, actually, and it was pretty awesome.
What was the one thing you took away from like the competing day that was like, this is way different than a regional because of this?
I mean, yeah, everyone was just like so good, and you know, at regionals you face a couple of like, you know, like not the greatest opponents ever usually, but mm-hmm. Everyone was just like on their game and stuff.
Yeah, same. I mean, you look at your pairings, you're like, Jesper Eriksson, round one. Oh, cool. You know, you're at Worlds. Like, you got to expect stuff like that. Maddox, what about you? It's our first Worlds too. So
yeah, I mean, just the fact that, you know, we're going in and there's so much energy, and really what overwhelmed me and was the coolest part for me was, right, you know, the competition itself, you know, felt like a regional in terms of like the logistics, but like Parker said, you know, the level of skill against you're playing with. But really what did it for me is just like the buy-in from the surrounding area and like the local community. I mean, as we're walking around, I mean, there's Pokemon everywhere. There's Pokemon on walls. There's photo ops with, you know, you get your Butterfree wings. You know, like Pokemon literally took over Yokohama.
Yeah.
And people would see our badges and see our shirts and knew exactly what we were here for and wishing us luck and saying like, hey, so glad you could be here to compete. It was really just unbelievable, like how much of a buy-in there was. And I mean, literally wearing my competitor badges around in between food, you know, people, hey, oh, can I get a picture of your competitor? I mean, like people were like really invested into it. And to see someone who is a competitor for the trading card game was like a big deal. So
it was a huge deal. Like, people were just like stopping and take a picture with us. And we're like, I don't know who you are, but like, okay, sure. Like, you know, this is awesome. But like the venue was incredible. You walk in directly to the right. You got all these photo ops. You got the one where you sit down and I don't know the correct word for it. Do you know the correct wording for that sit down area?
No, I don't remember.
It's like the traditional Japanese, you know, sit on a pillow, drink some tea.
Yeah, sit on a pillow, drink some tea. And so hopefully you guys at this point, if you haven't noticed already, this episode, we're not recording videos of ourselves. So for those of you on YouTube, you'll be seeing a montage of everything that we've done in Japan without the audio. I do hope to eventually create a file so you guys can see with audio all the shenanigans that we went through and did. We have a lot of content that we created here, and so we'll try to take that video and post it on YouTube for you guys to kind of, you know, live with us, see some of the pictures, see some of those moments, and really just create like some memories. So Japan has been awesome. Yokohama was awesome. We spent a couple of days in Tokyo for the first couple of nights, and that was incredible. Akihabara is where we stayed. It's just really, really fun. Like, the culture here is so vastly different than in America. And it's a great thing. Honestly, everything's so easy to do. People are so nice. There's tons of people. Like, everywhere you go, like, you really feel the population difference.
Yeah, we went up to the top of the Sky Tower and just looking over across Tokyo and seeing, like, there are so many houses, so many buildings. Even, you know, we were staying with a buddy from Jacksonville. They're like, that, you know, that was an hour and a half away, but we're still passing through and on this whole train ride for miles and miles, or kilometers and kilometers. We're seeing houses and residential areas. I mean, just so expansive, this Tokyo metro area.
What about you, Parker's? Like, I think you said, like, you got here a day before us, 2 days because of travel issues.
Yeah.
But like, you just walked around this area in Yokosuka. How was that experience, like, just the culture here?
I mean, it was cool. I'm very entertained by like the size of things. Like, everything is just like smaller than it is in America, like, including the people. It was cool to just walk around and just kind of soak it in. Like, it's not like he lives in like Tokyo. It's more like a kind of like countryside-ish area. But it was super nice. I was just kind of in bliss.
How long was your walk that you went on?
It was about 2 hours, and something that I wouldn't ever do in America, honestly.
Yeah. What made you do that? Just like enjoying the culture?
I was just sightseeing the vibe, right? Stuff. And yeah. And like stopped in a couple stores and just looked around. And
yeah.
And it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, Japan's been pretty awesome. And, you know, we had a great experience doing all the sightseeing. But at the end of the day, we were here to compete, right? We were here to compete in the world championships of the Pokemon trading card game.
Yeah.
That's crazy to say out loud, honestly. Mm-hmm. But Parker, let's talk about our run. What'd you play? How'd you do? And what matchups did you have?
So I played a fairly standard Giratina Lost Zone with no cross switchers. Opted to play 4 Gen Energies just to give myself some extra switching options. I went with 4 Nest Balls. I went with no like Poke Gear, any like external way to, you know, find supporters outside like just drawing them and comfies and stuff. But I was pretty happy with the list. Like 7 of my series, like I lost like turn 2 basically, or maybe like 6 of them. But it was I had like a bad game, a good game, and then like the third game was kind of whatever. But going into the event, I mean, I always say Lugia is a great play. I will just never touch the deck because I get the Messagoza Tails, I get the wrong thing on capturing aroma, I get, you know, Lugia with 5 energies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like just terrible starts, but it's always a good play. And I played against 4 Lugias this day. Deck that I did not test against, I think is...
Wasn't it the most popular deck in day 1?
It was. It was the most played deck in day 1. And that shocked me, honestly. But yeah, like, I think it's slightly unfavorable for Tina, especially all of them played a Snorlax. But when I played round 7 was like the colorless build, so I had like 2 or 3 Snorlaxes in it, and it was just not easy, even when like they didn't even draw particularly great, still not easy.
If they get the charm on the Snorlax, it's so annoying for Giratina.
You have to like lost impact. Like most of the games I was able to like hold my ropes and like my bosses and just kind of play around that. So like a lot of the time I didn't even knock out a Snorlax. I just like would boss a thing on the bench.
Yeah, or just shred, right? Even if you're just shred, like, it's so shredding. Yeah. Like the problem with Snorlax is you can't Sableye it.
Yeah, you can't even like cram Sableye
like you can't
it,
so like just shred Sableye it, you know, and yeah. It's so annoying.
Yeah. It's definitely rough to deal with. Played against Fusion Mew round 4. We're having a great series, honestly, and then I was tired and hungry, and I announced flower selecting and picked up 5 cards. So that basically lost me game 3. Kind of possibly derailed my run, but I was in good spirits. You know, my opponent was like super nice.
You feel like you'd have won that game if you didn't make that mistake?
I think so. So he had Ice Q. He started Ice Q on the bench. He had 2 V Maxes, and that I was at that current turn. I would have been at 8 in the loss zone after a comfy. So if like I got it for us, I'd be at 10. So I could like kill his Mew, boss a Genesect, and then Sableye Ice Cube basically.
Yeah.
To like close that one out. But double prize penalty. He was just like, oh, okay, I'm just gonna boss Routina now, and like
right.
That's basically game.
Yeah, because like, he had 1 prize left after that. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
that's annoying. Yeah, it's very annoying. Which of your opponents was like your favorite match?
Like, my favorite opponent to play against, it probably was the Mew player. I mean, he played very well. He also played very fast, which I like. I think that's one of my main gripes when I play is, like, my turn will be, like, 1.5 minutes to do, like, 20 actions, and then my opponent goes, like, you know, attach an energy, think, you know, play stadium, think, play a supporter, think, you know, like, Ultra Ball, think.
Did that happen at Worlds too? Or I mean, I know how it's at regionals. Like, did it happen at Worlds for you?
No, everyone played at a good speed.
Good.
Good. Like, obviously, we played thoroughly, checking discards and lost zones and everything.
Right.
But, like, Yeah, it was. Everyone played at a very reasonable pace, which I was happy with.
Everybody understood. I feel like that ties were not allowed, like not a thing we could do.
Yeah,
right. Much. And so I think like everyone we played against, I know for me, like the one guardy I played, I will get to mine, but I played against the guardy player, and he was like zooming through his deck. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, I've never seen someone play guardy this fast. Mm-hmm. But yeah, thanks for sharing. So your final record was?
I went 5-3, so went off. I was out of contention after round five, after game two, start Cramorant pass, and he got the Starbirth for the double turbo switch and just killed me.
You got donked game three?
Game two.
Game two. Yeah, that's just annoying. I mean, Giratina's a deck that pops off or breaks, I feel like, sometimes.
Yeah, so. I like the middle ground play where you kind of like, you know, you stick Path Abyss Seeking. And
right.
Like those are the games I enjoy. But yeah, like there was one game, like round seven, I popped off. I like turn two, lost impact on his fucking Lugia, and like that was like kind of over from there. But yeah.
Yeah. Probably fun. All right. Well, thanks for sharing. Maddox, you're up next. What'd you play? Who'd you play? And how'd it go?
So my play, right? I've obviously, you know, played Mew almost the entire season, primarily double turbo Mew, but lately been playing Fusion Mew. I was considering a couple different decks before the event, even thought about Chen Pao and played it in a local tournament here leading up to it. And after that tournament, I was like, no, this could never happen. So I made a little bit of a bold meta call. I went and played not Fusion Mew, but I played double turbo Mew. I played zero outs of Spiritomb. And I just said, hey, you know what? I'm just going to dodge them, which anyone from Jacksonville might just say that, you know, some call me the guy who always gets it. But I did face two Spiritombs on my Worlds run. I went 1-0-1 against Dex with Spiritomb in them. So I tied one and beat the other one. So it wasn't too big of an issue. My other little spice is I played the Squawkabilly EX.
Yes, sir.
Just give me a little bit more consistent on that opening setup. And let me, if I just had a Nest Ball or VIP pass, I could just dump the hand, draw six, especially if they open Spiritomb and I wouldn't be able to draw anyways, then I could go and play my hand down to zero, Squawk ability to draw six more cards to hopefully set me up for like a boss on Spiritomb plus yep. Boss Zone it later. In terms of my Worlds run, honestly, it felt very, very much like a World Championship because I was very lucky in that my first five rounds, I had opponents from five different countries. So I played someone from France, Poland, Malaysia, Japan, as well as the United States. So I felt very mixed. And it's like, oh, hey, yeah, this is what World Championship should be like. I'm playing against someone different and had good conversations with each of them. I know a big thing going into the event is, you know, it's wanting to make sure, okay, hey, I got to make sure I don't want to leave here without a win, basically. So,
right.
So I won, you know, I was super, super nervous going into my first game. Fortunately, with Lugia being a very popular choice today, DTE Mew, you know, Judge Path Prey, I've done that since Orlando against Lugia. So it kind of felt comfortable going into this. Is okay, yeah, they have Tyranitar, but you know, round one, I was able to just Judge Path my opponent out of both games and basically secure a pretty quick like 2-0 win and just kind of really that like ease some of my nerves and just said, hey, I you know, kill that imposter syndrome. Hey, I'm meant to be here. 1-0 to start. I've won a game. No one can take this away from me. So, and going into the rest of the rounds, you know, I had a couple of good opponents. I had an unfortunate tie round two where I think I had game, had we had a little bit more time, but both of us were playing a little bit slow. This was against one of the Spiritomb opponents, so the games were a little bit slower and brickier, like by design, just because like I wasn't really attacking and they weren't really attacking because Path was in play. Other than that, so a couple other key highlights. I played Jared, who had a really, really spicy, you know, Gardevoir list with cross switchers. So he's posted that list now. He had a good run into day two. Wasn't able to bring it home, but that was a very fun opponent to play against. And then I also played against Jarek, who's someone I played before out of Chicago. He, you know, he was also playing Gardevoir with Spiritomb, and I don't even know how, but I managed to just draw the right cards to be able to, you know, take home the win against him.
So tough to do against Gardevoir. Like, Gardevoir is already a tough matchup from you. Like, in general, like, I know you have Judge Path, you have more paths than, like, standard Mew, but, like, with a Spiritomb, that's got to be, like, did you get turn two boss, like, every game?
I honestly, I think I did. I mean, I probably except the game that I lost. Like, I mean, it was, I needed those pieces. I was really trying to save the stone and those kind of key pieces to say, okay, hey, I need to get the turn 2K on this.
So you guys finished three games in that set?
We had a gentleman's for the final game. Basically, he had to hit an attack and he whiffed the reversal.
Okay.
And I had to go and like dig for some tablets. So we had an agreement to just make sure one of us could get to the point. But similar to Parker, I was out of it after round five. I was 2-2-1 at that point. I lost to Lugia. Just kind of didn't have the draws go my way. But then I was still able to close out with three wins to bring to a pretty respectable 5-2-1, which I feel good about. Yeah, part of it was out of contention, but you know, when you look back in history books, it says 5-2-1. So
that's right.
I'll take that. And it was good games overall. So played a bunch of great opponents. Again, really fun to have such a diverse spread. And it felt really good to kind of give DT EMU a deck that I had spent so much time with, one last kind of good run and a strong showing at Worlds.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it coming in that we thought DT EMU was in a good spot. Mm-hmm. You know, there was Giratina decks cutting Drapion, cutting Spirit Tomb. Parker, did you play Spirit Tomb?
Nope.
Neither one of us played a Spirit Tomb out, a Mew out. I just we really felt like it was a good spot coming in. And we discussed and we worked as a group on that list pretty hard. And the Squawk is like your one out to Spirit Tomb. Like, and it's also your consistency option just to set up that deck in general. Because sometimes DTE Mew or any Mew, you know, you just have those hands where you're just like, I've got no basics. I've got one Nest Ball. Cool. I can get a Mew down and attach to it. And that's it. Where, like, you know, you just go, hey, Squawk, like, send it, you know? Yeah. So Squawk is one of those cards that I feel is really positioned well in the meta going forward, that it really just has its time to shine because it's that consistency option that we don't have. You know, you want the battle of the IPP and you want the comfies and you want all these things, but like, sometimes, man, at research turn one, when you can do it going first, it's just pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, against Lugia, that I can go Squawk, Judge, draw more cards, and then take them in path, right? It feels like cheating.
The Squawk Judge, right? So the route you do is bench the Squawk, hopefully Judge, and then Squawk after, right? Because maybe you have some resources you want to protect.
I mean, it depends on what I need. I typically found myself using Squawk first. So I'd play my hand down to zero and then Squawk, unless I already had like the Judge in hand.
Okay.
Because in most cases, right, you know, you're playing your hand down to just a few cards or really to nothing.
Yeah.
And just getting that six off the bat is just very, very strong.
Very strong.
I didn't really have any case. I only had a couple cases over the weekend where I was even able to set up without the Squawk, where I was able to have a full bench.
That's pretty good.
And it's funny going into the event, Eric was telling me that, hey, you're going to face two Spirit Tombs, so you got to pretty much play perfectly everywhere else. So I lost to two decks that didn't have Spirit Tomb, and I didn't lose the decks that did have Spirit Tomb.
Right.
So it's funny how that happened. But Eric, what about you, right? You know,
yeah.
You also had a Worlds run. You were also here.
Yeah, I was also here competing. I chose to play Lasso and Tina. I knew I was going to play a deck with Giratina in it coming into the event. I didn't know if it was going to be Arc Tina or Lost Tina. When I sat down and thought about it, I just thought that Arctina wasn't in a good position. It's kind of bricky sometimes. I mean, obviously you play the Squawkability in it and Nats, and that card was so good. But eventually, you know, I've got so much experience playing Lost Zone decks. You know, I've got this season, I think five of my finishes were with Lost Zone in it. So I think I wanted to play a deck with Comfy in it at the end of the day, and that's where I went. And decided to play Lost Zone Tina. My list was a little bit different than Parker. We didn't play the exact 60 like we sometimes do, just because I wanted some consistency in my deck, and the consistency option that I played was a Luminion. I really am on the Luminion Ultra Ball Collapse package, like three cards in my deck that, you know, go well. And so playing Luminion and Path together doesn't really go well, so I decided to cut the Path at the end of the day. I knew the Path was really good, but I played a Collapse and Artisan. Just I said, like, if I set up, like, I feel really good that I can win a set if I just play every game. And at the end of the day, that's what got me in round seven. So I started out 0-2. My set versus Jesper round one was like a really, really good set. I went to game three. I had game if I hit Sableye on my turn, and I drew like 10 cards, and my bottom two cards were Sableye Rod. And so like after I missed it, you know, Jesper was like, what are those two cards? Cause he knew, and I flipped him over and I'm like, yeah, the Sableye is right there. So, you know, I just dug as much as I could and missed there. And then I lost round two just cause of a bricky against Gardevoir, and he just absolutely popped off, like 2-0'd me, destroyed me so fast. So I'm just like, at that moment, I'm just staring death in the face, and I'm like, you know, it's time to put up or shut up, because you're here at the World Championships. You're going to go 0-3 drop, or you're going to like make a run. And so I played against Paul from Australia, really nice guy. We kind of saw him at the Pokemon Centers a couple of times. Cool guy. He was also playing Gardevoir. Oh, sorry. Actually, I put that one in wrong. He was playing. He was playing a Lost Stone deck. It was like Lost Stone Turbo. I did put that one wrong in Pokeset. Sorry, Paul, if you're listening. He's playing Lost Stone Turbo, and it went to game three, and I was able to close it out. So that set was a good set, and it felt really good to get that first win. Right, man. Yeah. You're so nervous. Like you said, I think you mentioned that just those nerves. You're scared. You're like. Like, I'm doing all I can, but I'm about to go 0-3 drop at Worlds. Because like, if 0-3, I probably would have played it out. It's like, because I just, at that point, like, do you deserve to get a win at that point? You know, you work so hard all season, yes, but like, that other side of you, like, you're just so defeated.
Yeah, I literally remember my hands shaking, like, after he, like, passed, after, like, Judge passed, but, like, I'm like, can I close this game out?
Yeah.
So I can't even imagine what you're feeling, like, into a third game.
No,
in round three, trying to get a win,
right? Oh, and like, I forgot to mention, I lost the first game of that round three. Mm-hmm. Like, I scooped turn two. I was like, all right, yep. He got cram knockout. I had nothing. I was like, all right, cool. This is how it goes. This is, you know, it's just not my day. And then I won that, and it just propelled me forward. So I beat Nathan playing Lugia single strike. It was a tough set as well. Went to a game three, and he just kind of bricked game three, and he went my way there. Played against the Lost Zone Gudra deck round mm-hmm. five. Did not expect it. At all. Like, so I saw Lost Zone, I went first. I'm like, all right, let me bench Tina. Because again, my route versus Tina is with my collapsed, I can soak up a cram hit and collapse away the Tina. So I benched my Tina and he Lost Zone to Gudra. And I go, oh crap. I'm like, well, because like Gudra's a bad matchup. Gudra Tina is a really bad matchup for Gudra. So he's Lost Zone the Gudras. I'm like, okay, so he's going single prize route. That's fine. And then he hits me with the Zam boss after I take my first knockout. And I'm like, yep, didn't see that coming. I probably should have because there's metal in the deck. I just didn't think about it. I haven't practiced against Gudra very much at all. So I ended up scooping game one, and then I won game two and three pretty handily after I knew what he was doing. I just never benched a Tina. And then just did lost some things. Then I played against Stephen Kent from England. He's one of the judges. He's a pretty nice guy. He played Arctina. One of the games he bricked out of his mind. And then the other, I just was able to beat him. So now I'm like 4-2. Like I'll go from 0-2 to 4-2. And I'm like, I'm the only guy in our group that's still in contention. Like we're all like, hey, let's go, let's do this. And like honestly, I'm like at this point I start feeling like really good, right? The deck's working. I'm like, okay, cool. And then I play against Aaron Friedman. He is playing Lost Zone Tina. That's what Jesper played first. And they both basically played the same deck with the Cross Witchers. Mm-hmm. And that matchup, if you haven't ran it yet, it's so unfavorable. Like for them to have Colrus, Cross Witcher, knockout Tina, it's just almost unbearable. It's so hard to beat. So one of the games he, you know, beat me because he played better and he's Cross Witchers and got the combo off. And the other game I broke through my mind and the deck was over. And at that moment I could have played the last round to try to go, you know, 5-3. But you know, I felt really good coming from 0-2 to 4-2 and lost that. And I'm out of it. I said, I'm going to drop and relax. Like I didn't need any more stress on my life that day. So I'm really happy with the run. I think the Lumineon collapse is really broken. Like that Lumineon just to hit the Colrus when you need it or the boss when you need it. So, so good. Because I want Pokégears in the deck, but Pokégear is such a bad card. Like, I really hate Pokégear. What do you think? Am I stupid by saying Lumineon's better than Pokégear?
I mean, I'm not a huge fan of Pokégear either. Like sometimes it hits, but like, I mean, early game, you're like, oh, I'll do a couple actions in Pokégear, and then you hit your Roxanne on turn one.
Right.
Like,
exactly. I can't tell you the number of times I use Lumineon, like, early game. Like, oh, I don't have Chorus. Boop, there it is. You know, so felt really good. Happy with the run. I don't think I would change any cards except for, you know, maybe a belt or a Spear Tomb or Mew, obviously, because, like, Mew was everywhere. But yeah, those were our Worlds runs. So congratulations to each of us. We all finished with a really good finish at Worlds, I think. You know, none of us made day two, which was our goal. However, we all finished with a winning record. Mm-hmm. So next up, I want to thank Nakama for sponsoring us for this event. We debuted the new jerseys. Those were awesome. We got some good pictures with those and. Max, you got something to say?
Yeah, the jerseys were fantastic. Again, thanks to Nakama Anime Cafe back in Orange Park, Florida, for supporting us way out here across the world in Japan. Was really cool. I had a tweet of mine that got featured on stream. Very early in the rounds, you know, wearing my Nakama jersey in front of like a big Squirtle on the wall. So, but I didn't see it, right? I'm busy in tournament mode, and I like played two rounds. I go over and check my phone, and like everyone's adding me. It's like, hey, I saw you on stream.
Lunch break is when you saw it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, so it was super cool there. And yeah, I mean, and really, you know, it's been cool having a little taste of Japan from Nakama, right? Nothing can compare to Japan itself, of course, but really excited to get back to Nakama. When do we get back in town? We get back, on Wednesday 23rd, we're back for a normal Pokemon. Yeah. On Wednesday nights at Nakama Anime Cafe, bunch of fun there. And then August 26th, right, that's that K-pop karaoke idol competition.
Parker's face.
You can't see it this time on the podcast, but Parker is still reacting. So if he hadn't gotten enough of Japan, then maybe you'll see us back at the K-pop idol on August 26th. So thanks again to Nakama Anime Cafe for supporting us.
Yeah, come out and see us on the 23rd and talk to us. Maybe we'll have some Worlds merch that you might be able to get. So come hang out with us. We'll bring back some exclusive stuff. We did get a good bit of stuff. So those of you listening back at home that you know are sad that you didn't make it to go, you'll be here eventually. But for now, we'll bring in some stuff back for you. So next we're going to jump into our fun segment. We got youngster versus gym leader. I don't know if I can call you a youngster anymore now that you've competed in the Worlds event, but I'm still going to call you a youngster.
And again, to clarify for the audience, I am older than Parker. Not by much, but by a little bit.
But the youngster part is the fact that Maddox has less experience than Parker. So for this week's trivia question, we're going to shout out a little bit to, you know, foreshadow a little bit what we're going to talk about later. Ace specs are coming back. Mm-hmm. Question of the week. How many different ace specs are there?
Okay, well, we got bodied by the how many EXs are in Obsidian Flames last time. So Parker actually knows this one probably. So he's not going to want to collude.
I got to get something for you guys to like write down an answer and give it to me. So let me do that real quick. We got some papers here we can tear apart. All right, there's some paper so you guys can lock in your answer. You guys want to talk about it?
I don't want to collude again, Parker.
Yeah, do you want to collude on this one or you want to?
I think I just know the
answer. I'll take the hint then.
You can write it down and lock it in if you know the answer.
You got to take out the little front thing of the pen. Oh. Prevents you from writing. I'll take the hint. Hopefully it's not something like, oh, there's more than five. All right, what's the hint?
So the hint is, this number is the name of a 2010 film starring Jason Statham.
What?
That made it more complicated.
The name of the film is this number.
Okay.
And it stars Jason Statham.
Okay. Good thing I don't know movies. Or ace specs. It's all from like 2010 era, so. When are ace specs? Is that 2012?
They're like the plasma area. Yeah.
Okay. Eric's pointing the computer away from me, so I don't feel able to hear me.
I'm looking up all of them so I can talk through them real quick. After
what your phone's for.
Yeah, you're right. So, anyways, would you like your second hint, or would you like to announce?
It's like I know it's like around like actually. What's good movie names? It's gonna be something. Who is it again?
Jason Statham.
All right. I mean, so it's probably something like 17. I'll just get another hint. I'm not confident enough.
The next hint is this number is also an unlucky number.
An unlucky number? Oh, so I'll go 13, final answer.
13, final answer. 13 is the answer. Parker locked in 11, so Parker gets no points this week. Let me see if I can quickly pull up all 13. There's 13 English language ace specs cards in the history of the Pokemon set. All right, here we go. So we got computer search.
Yep.
We got Crystal Edge, got Crystal Wall, Gold Potion, Dowsing Machine, Scramble Switch, Victory Piece, Life Dew.
Oh, God. I forgot that one.
Rock Guard,
yep.
G Booster,
yep.
G Scope, Master Ball, and Scoop Up Cyclone.
Oh, how could I forget that one, too?
So you forgot Scoop Up Cyclone and...
Forgot like the third and fourth most playable.
Well, it's funny. Your strategy was different. Yours was like, your Parker was like, let me try to think of every single card. I was just like, I mean, I think there's more than 10, less than 15. I'll just get some hints. Unlucky. Probably 13, right?
I remembered the Crystal Wall and Crystal Edge and like all the like ones that never got play, but I forgot Scoop Up Cyclone and Life Dude.
Okay, so you still get your bonus question, youngster. Bonus question. When did Apex rotate out of standard? What season? What year?
Rotate out?
Yes.
So
this season, Apex were no longer needed. So like this season we were just in was 2023, 2024. So, or whatever that is.
Man, Parker just gave me some information when I asked a question similar to this, but I don't think I got a year. So I mean, I'm going to go with 2015.
So which season, 2014, 2015, or 2015, 2016?
After the end of the 2015 World Championship, so 2015, 2016.
That's correct. 2 points, sir. You earned 2 points.
Parker, watch out. They'll be calling me the gym leader next
time. Hey. Parker got cocky and locked in his answer early because he wanted to get it. So I don't blame you, though. That was fun anyways. So next, let's talk about more about Japan. Like, Japan has just been awesome. So let's just do a little bit of a draft here, right? Mm-hmm. Each of us, we're going to pick three things that were awesome in Japan. Talk about them a little bit. The draft order is Maddox, you're first, Parker, you're second, and Eric goes last. Maddox, you're first, your number one pick.
Can I pick Pokemon and like not let you talk about anything about Pokemon?
No.
Okay. In that case, so this is something else that I guess reminds me of knocking my anime cafe and bar down in Jacksonville, Florida. But karaoke, right? We did karaoke a couple nights ago. I love to sing for anyone who doesn't know me. You know, if I'm not playing Pokemon, I'm probably singing, or I'm probably singing while playing Pokemon, as the guys can attest to. So we went to a karaoke spot, you know, not too far from where we're staying. And it was like, oh, we'll stay for like an hour. And it was like, oh, maybe two. And we're there like 2 hours and like, we need another hour. We have so many songs left in the queue. So.
There's like so many songs left in the queue.
So it was just really fun and just cool to have like the authentic, you know, Japanese karaoke experience, right? They're bringing you drinks and you're just having a good time with your friends. You know, I quickly found out, okay, here's where I go to the foreign language songs, the English songs that I know, because everything else on that.
They didn't have Gotta Catch 'Em All. Like, what?
Well, they had the Japanese theme song.
Yeah, but I want Gotta Catch 'Em All. Like, I would have, like, sung my heart out.
I mean, but if you go to Nakama Anime Cafe, do you expect them to have the Japanese Pokemon theme?
Yes.
Probably.
Next year, probably. All right, Parker, what do you got?
Parker, what do you got?
So the competitors, I think, got a little bit shafted just due to the registration line. There was a window from 5 to 8 that had, like, here's where competitors go into the Pokemon store. And, we were kind of like towards the middle of the line, not even the end of the line, the middle of the line. And,
3 hours later.
Yeah. 3 hours later, they were like, well, it's closing, like we're running out of stuff. So like, oh, that sucks. But like, here's a wristband. You can go anytime during the weekend. And you can bring 3 people with you. So I was like, okay, awesome. So. Saturday morning, I went and skipped like 500 people in line, and they took the wristband, and I spent, you know, not as much as the other people, but I spent a fair bit at the store and got some really, really cool stuff.
Yeah, it was so cool. Like, it felt like royalty.
Yeah, right? You know, I'm just like walking past all these people in line, like
VIP.
Like, it just felt like, oh my god, look at this guy, he's a competitor. Mm-hmm. And like, what was cool about it is, like, you know, Mitch, our spectator friend, you know, he was able to go with each of us. Right? So Mitch got to go like 3 or 4 times. You know, Maddox, I think you got in a couple of times with some friends as well. You know, that's what networking is about. You have friends and you get to go. So
yeah. Parker had that battle VIP pass turn one.
Hey. All right, so I'm next. Oh, man, my favorite thing. We almost didn't do this, and it turned out to be, like, my number one favorite thing. So we signed up. The only thing we got to sign up for out of all the, like, world stuff that you could do was the SSN. The SSN, if you don't know, was a luxury cruise ship. They had parked in Japan, in Yokohama, that was Pokemon-themed, and they had battle areas and stuff set up. So we had a really busy weekend. We had it on Sunday. We're like, do we want to go to this? You know, because we got to go to the Pokemon Center again for my wristband. And then it's like, man, it's not really going to fit in. You know, the final start at like 12. Are we really going to be able to go to that? And, you know, me and Max were like, yeah, we're going. Let's send it. Because if we wanted to go network, meet people, hand out business cards for the podcast, different things. I tell you, that was the coolest experience I've almost ever done. You walk on, it's got the Pokemon theme, like the, you know, the SSN music going on. They've got a TCG battle area. Me and Maddox head straight to the battle area. And we're like, listen, you have to go win a battle. You can't leave this area until you win a battle. And I'll tell you, I beat this Gardevoir deck so bad, so fast. I wish I would have played like that during the tournament, because I played turn 2 Moonlight Shuriken, turn 3 Moonlight Shuriken, turn 4 Lost Impact for game on Zacian.
Yeah, it really much felt like walking onto the boat. It was like, oh, hey, I'm like a gym leader who just like walked on, and it's like, oh, yeah. So like, I'm an ace trainer, and it's like, oh, yeah, I got bug catchers coming at me, and it's like, not like fending off the Weedles, right? It's like, I mean, but like, it was just a cool experience. There's like so many people, they had all these little tables with like the let's battle, and just literally sit down, and someone says, hey, do you want to battle? And says, yeah.
Yeah, and like, I met someone, like, they were excited I was competitor, so they wanted to trade, and they gave me like a Pokemon 151 pack, and I opened the pack, and it's a art rare Charmeleon in it, and I'm like, sick, like, this is so cool. Then we go exploring more, and they got these trash cans everywhere. You open the trash can, it's like, nope, there's only trash here. If you haven't seen the tweet already, we did one with like a Gardevoir in it, because, you know, that deck's trash. Shout out Cord. Anyways, so that was a lot of fun. Maddox, you're next.
I guess
your second favorite thing.
Yeah, another big local thing that we did is the 2 days before. Again, I mentioned earlier how I played Chen Pao in a tournament a little bit before. We actually did a local Worlds Prep tournament. So in Toshiba City, I believe
Toshiba, yeah.
There was a store called Card Secret. They were running pretty much every day leading up to Worlds, a tournament at 1 and a tournament at 5
with Worlds format. With
Worlds format,
which is important because they play in a different format than we do.
Correct. Yeah, the Japanese format right now is different. They actually had to go back a little bit to play in the World Championship. But they had a local World Prep tournament, so we were able to play against a lot of locals and plus some other people that have traveled in. I played people from Australia. There are people there from Europe, other people from America. I mean, just all there to prepare for Worlds, you know, do some last-minute deck refinements. The World Prep tournament was fun. I didn't do that great. Again, Chen Pao deck wasn't, like, totally cruising for me super well. And round 3, I paired against Parker, who I can play in Jacksonville. So that was funny. It's like, here I am across the world, and I hit Parker. Ended up 2-1 at the end of it. But, I mean, that practice was just really good, especially from spending a week being a tourist, to be able to just kind of stay focused, have this feel, you know, get some reps in with over the table. I think that definitely helped me, you know, feel confident in my deck change off of Chen Pao. And also just like, hey, I went through the motions a few times, felt more helpful about it.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun there. I went 3-0, so that was a good time. Got some more 151 packs. Mm-hmm. I had a really good time. My first opponent, she was so nice. The lady we talked to, mm-hmm. You know, like, they just loved, like, again, they were taking pictures with us because we're competitors, and they knew that we're competitors. So the shop, Card Secret, if you haven't been to it and you're in Japan and you're listening, that shop is amazing. They've got literally anything you can need. All right, Parker, you're next.
So this is not a Pokemon related one. This is Maid Cafe. Like, I've wanted to do like a genuine like Maid Cafe, and in like the streets of Akihabara, they have like girls, like, you know, maids standing out, and they kind of like hand out flyers and like advertise. But they actually, like, once you get, I guess, like paired with one, they take you to like their cafe and stuff, and, you know, everything's like all super cute and stuff. And I got a Fennekin drawn on some Omu rice.
That looks so good.
It actually looks like surprisingly so good. Yeah. I had a like nice commemorative like Polaroid and everything, and that was just a fun time. That's like just something I could cross off my list, basically.
I mean, that's something you can't get in America. That is like a strictly Japan experience.
Yeah. And like, there are some in America, but, you know, it's not the same. You have like some like cute Japanese girl, you know, talking to you in Japanese and stuff. So I was like, it's not the same.
No, I had fun. It was a good time, you know. The experience was different than what you would expect, but it, you know, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I got a Mew drawn on my omelet rice, so can't complain about that.
Like, she was such a good drawer. Like, you put the picture next to it, and like, she was killing it.
Yeah.
She was killing it. But yeah, I'm next. So Saturday? Was it Sunday?
Sunday.
It was after the finals of TCG and before the closing ceremonies. Maddox and Mitch went somewhere else. Parker was somewhere else. So it was just me, like, walking around the venue. So I'm excited. I got my GLC deck. I got my Lost Zone GLC deck built. I got everything ready. And I'm just walking around, like, trying to battle people, kind of like the SSN. And, like, that was just so much fun. I sat down with, like, 5 different people, played matches against them, some standard, some GLC. I witnessed some epic splash going on, which back home we're gonna get that going eventually. Epic Splash was like a Magikarp deck that was like coin flip based, and you could win by assembling Exodia in your hand or decking your opponent out or taking six prizes. And it was just,
yeah, we were talking literally about Exodia, the Yu-Gi-Oh card.
Like literally the Yu-Gi-Oh, like it's in a Pokemon deck. And anyways, it was just so much fun just meeting people, like being in that, again, the culture. Like there's nowhere else, like at a regional you can go sit down and play some people, yeah, but it's not like I can, you know, have these matches against some Japanese folks and I'm sitting here playing Tina and I'm popping off. They're going, oh, you know, like there's like the Japanese folks are so animated in their games.
Yeah, they're so happy.
They're so happy and animated. So that was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that a lot. I miss my friends, but you know, I met others. So it's good. Maddox, so what's your last draft pick?
As I was going through, I was like, how did I not start with this? So basically, anyone who was watching the stream, maybe you weren't in the States because it was very late or very early. But basically, the top four was going on, and normally they stream both top four matches. But in this case, I think because it was getting so late into the night, they said, hey, we're just going to stream one and then not stream the other one. So we had Azul playing Fusion Mew versus Vance Kelly, who ended up winning the whole Worlds playing Fusion Mew. And as a Mew player myself, I'm like, I got to see this. So we're like over at TCG area. It's kind of funny. We're like farther back, and it's kind of like, because the judge is kind of like keeping a line, but then there's some tables. So I'm like, let me try to get a little bit closer. And then I kind of get to a spot where I'm like, on the table, you know, like one table away, basically as close as I'm allowed to get, like basically able to see like Azul's hand plus like Vance's and Azul's board. And I'm just there like watching the game, right? Seeing a mirror match, which I know very well. And I'm kind of giving some updates because it wasn't on stream. I was thinking, you know, there's some people that said, oh, hey, can you tell me about what's going on with it? I said, oh, yeah, I'll just start posting it to Twitter. I ended up starting live tweeting game three, which was a very, very exciting game. And it was funny because it wasn't on stream. So people started to see this and started to follow me and just try to see what updates were happening. But I mean, a really, really intense set, you know, where Azul ends up getting the four power tablet plus power belt to KO Mew VMAX. And then Vance is able to go return, get out of path Iono to then draw all of his modifiers he needs to return to KO the Mew VMAX to win the game.
Well, the interesting part in that game, we haven't mentioned much, right? Azul got turn one double prize KO. Mm-hmm. He should be way ahead at that point.
Yeah.
Turn two, he whiffed the knockout. Why?
He whiffed it because Vance was playing Oricorio, which a few top players were playing. You know, Vance Kelly was, Xander Perot was playing Oricorio, you know, really helps you in that Gardevoir matchup, but also in a scene, you're right, day two was, you know, 15% second most popular deck was Mew. It really helps you in that mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a big part of Vance's success was that he played, I think, four or five Mews over the course of day two.
Yeah.
And since probably most of them were not playing Oricorio, having that Oricorio is just going to be a huge advantage there, forcing an extra damage mod to even KO a Genesect.
Right, because Fusion usually goes two prizes. You know, turn one, and then turn two, boss Genesect, just KO it without a mod. And then if you have to use all your mods in a VMAX and that you miss the boss, then you have to do that, and that's fine. But you need a mod to KO Genesect.
Yeah.
Because of the Oricorio. That was very interesting. Azul got so very unlucky there. He drew probably 15 cards, didn't see a single mod. And it was like, well, he had to boss early. Mm-hmm. And like, so he did the boss and then just missed the tablet. So that's where the match changed. I think that's where Vance won his Worlds, was in that moment.
Really, really cool match to watch.
Yeah, it was it was a fun experience. I agree. Parker, what's your last draft pick?
So it's like a hot take, kind of. I do love my car back home, but I actually really love the transportation around Japan. So like, similar to Korea, there's a lot of like taxiing, like you just pull a taxi off the street, which like, can't, well, in Florida, where I live, you know, like, can't really do.
I guess
New York or something is probably more common, but there's that. And then there's also like the trains and the subways, which is like at first a little tricky, but you know, after doing it a couple times, you know, I actually enjoyed, you know, taking the subway. And like, it's like, oh, like instead of like a $40 Uber, it's like a $3 train ride to like this place. So I was like, this is, you know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, Google Maps MVP, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because when I go to like Washington, D.C. or any place like that, that's the thing I say as well. I come home and I'm like, wow, I really wish we had commuting like that in Jacksonville, because like it's actually really neat to sit on a train and like do work for an hour and like, yeah, your commute, but like you get so much accomplished. You know, you're not driving and focused on driving. So yeah, I agree. That was awesome. So my last thing was just, you know, when you go to the World Championships or any ICs, anyone's been to an IC, they do it big. Like, you know, they've got screens everywhere. They've got seating areas. But I just love sitting there watching the finals. Like, people, like, popping off, like, having a good time. Like, the Unite finals with Luminosity, like, two-peating worlds? What? Like, that's insane that you could do that. And, like, they destroyed their opponent in the last game. It wasn't even close. You know, watching the Mew finals, I know Max was popping off because Mew won. So, like, and then I'm watching VGC finals and I have no idea what's going on. But when something happens, everyone goes, like,
grapple hit.
I'm like, okay, what just happened? I don't know because I don't play VGC. But, like, just that atmosphere of those people and the closing ceremony and learning about next year and all those different cards and things that are coming out. That was one of my favorite parts. So as we transition to the next topic, closing ceremony. We're going to Hawaii next year, hopefully. We got A-Specs coming back. We got some new cards revealed. What's some thoughts on some A-Specs? What's a new card you think's going to happen?
Me personally, I think one, because they are going to try to push expanded events. I'm expecting like a computer search and like Bowsing Machine reprint. That's probably like a pretty safe bet. I think a lot of people think that's going to happen as well.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
What about you, Max?
I think some other A-Specs we could see, right? You know, we did even have in some future sets like Raging Surf, they're kind of teasing like the TMs. So maybe something kind of like a G booster from the past. Maybe this is a more powerful TM, right? Is there a Hyper Beam TM that's an A-Spec? It's just a powerful attack that you can use or that allows the Pokemon to use. Or maybe maybe it doesn't break after you use it. I mean, who really knows? I mean, I think there's going to be some interesting like tools that we'll see come out around this.
Yeah, I think one of the tools I think would be really interesting is, yes, we have Terrestrialization on the bench barrier on the Charizards and stuff, but like, wouldn't it be a cool like one of, you can just change your type to like whatever type you want, or maybe it's like, you know, different cards, like there's different types of A-Specs, like this one changes you to psychic, you know, this one changes you to whatever. Like, could you imagine like Mew changing its type
to dragon,
to anything? Like, yeah, to anything, to like just not be weak to dark. That'd be kind of crazy. But yeah, so those are some cool cards. So we got Obsidian Flames coming out, right? Just released. We got 2 weeks, so it'll be legal. And our next event is Pittsburgh. What's a dark horse deck for Pittsburgh?
Well, I mean, everyone, as everyone can see, like Charizard's obviously doing extraordinarily well. I think something on the grassier side, something maybe like Meowscarada.
Meowscarada coming back, yo.
I guess this is coming from a guy who hasn't played zero games of Charizard EX and really loves the Charizard line. I'm not really too worried about Charizard EX yet. I think it gets more powerful later. I don't think there's enough going for it right now, and it's a stage 2 line without Curlia. So like, it can't be that good. I think the decks that will see success at Pittsburgh are gonna be, you know, Judge, it's going to be Judge Path Arceus decks.
Judge Path Arceus decks.
Yeah, I mean, right, you know, go, Arceus, Slaking. There's some interesting builds out there. I know Isaiah Chevelle has one that he ran in Worlds. It didn't have as much success, but I think it's a pretty strong build. Really, it's based around, you know, Sharon's Care and just, you know, swinging with Arceus consistently.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be, if you're able to just Judge Path enough, I think that you're going to be able to take care of most problems.
Yeah. I think, you know, to talk about Arceus and it come back to Gardevoir and Charizard somewhat well, I think we're going to see something with Glamora in it.
Oh.
I think Glamora is an interesting card. You can turn one Ascension into it, going second. So maybe you just always go second. You know, Gardevoir gets set up and you just Ascension them. You know, like, what are you going to do? It's a little tough, a little tricky. So I think that'd be an interesting deck. But anyways, so looking forward to that more in Pittsburgh, and we got to get back home from Japan safely so we can do that. And, you know, Japan's just been awesome. So just to close, I want to thank all the Japanese locals, everyone that we've met along the way here, just for their hospitality. And just this environment was awesome. And I don't think I'll ever forget an experience like this. And
it's not always you can walk around, you know, every city in a country and there's just Pokemon stuff everywhere. Yeah. And like, ads playing on buildings and the subways and you know, it was just awesome.
I mean, I think you said it best, Parker, once. We walked out of the venue and he's like, you walk out and you're here in Japan. you're in there and it feels like a regional experience, and then you walk out and you're in Japan. Mm-hmm. That was so cool.
Amazing.
So anyways, thanks for everyone back home for the support. Really appreciate you. Continue to listen to Beach Court Podcast. We got some cool things in the works for the future. But until next time, guys, have a good day.